Well, happy Father's Day, guys. I am so glad to be talking to you this morning. And I was thinking how my Father's Day sermon has changed over the years. And as I get older and as sort of society changes, you know, there was a time maybe 10, 15 years ago and we were all hopped up on Promise Keepers and I would just yell at dads on Father's Day. And then along the years, I kind of realized like the dads that are here coming to church on Father's Day, we should probably just encourage them. And so I've tried to do that over the last few years. Today, sort of where we're at in society, I just want to like hug dads and kind of say, you're beautiful in your own way. You're on the right track, baby. You were born this way, which is Lady Gaga, and that'd be super, super uncomfortable for all the men, so I won't do that. But it is interesting, sort of, we live in a culture where fathers are sort of thought of sort of like the appendix, I believe, or like, we don't know exactly if we need them. They're painful if you have to get rid of them, though, so I guess we'll. And so I just want to tell you guys this morning, if you're a father in here, and especially if you're a Christian father, if you're not a Christian this morning, you are so welcome at Action Church, and we're glad you're coming to check it out, and we're glad, even if you don't agree with what I say today, that you're open-minded enough to listen. But if you're a Christian father this morning, man, I just think that you are so, so valuable in the world we live in, and I'm so grateful you're here, and I hope you walk out encouraged. Now, I know I've sort of started out sounding old and grumpy, which I am, but I'm not against all change. I'm not against all societal change. In fact, there's one that I'm pretty excited about. Apparently, bacon is now good for you, and we should wrap it around everything, right? Like that, I can get behind. Yes, thank you. Finally, something we can all agree on. I'm excited about that. And so this morning, I get to tell you a story, not the inventor of bacon. I'm pretty sure that was God and the pig. But I get to tell you why, as Christians, we get to enjoy bacon. So that's exciting. It's sort of like the reason why, if you're a charcoal guy today, you know, I like infrared gas because I'm lazy. And some of you guys smoke meat and smoke with wood or charcoal. If you like charcoal, Henry Ford actually invented charcoal as a byproduct of car production. He kind of went, hey, I've got all these extra pieces of hardwood from the Model T, and that's where they started the charcoal briquettes. Raytheon invented the radar systems that we used in war, and somebody's chocolate bar melted in their pocket, and so that's where the microwave came from, and now we can use it to burn popcorn, so that's cool. But here's this is sort of a side story of Scripture of why we get to enjoy bacon, and so I'm pretty excited to talk to you about it. But first, let's kind of get back to the beginning, and every week I just want to start with this idea, because the reason why we're talking about Peter is that he said these words, and I just sort of can't get them out of my consciousness ever since I read them a few months ago. He said this, and it's interesting because a lot of times we think about Christianity or we think about turning our lives over to Christ, and we think, oh, that's so that I can go to heaven when I die, or, oh, that's so I can be freed from my sins, and all of those things I believe are true. But what Peter said is that we were ransomed by the death of Jesus. He said, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you. And then he didn't say from your sins or so you could go to heaven. Or he said from the empty life that you inherited from your ancestors. Now that's the New Living Translation. You might think, well, what would an older translation? English Standard Version says, knowing that you were ransomed, and I like this verbiage too, from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers. The New King James says that we are saved, we are ransomed from the aimless conduct received by tradition from our fathers. I think the regular old King James says vain conversations, which I didn't put that in there because you'd be like, what is that? But that is, it all says the same thing, that we are ransomed by God through the blood of Jesus, not just to go to heaven, not just to change our behavior, not even so that we can be freed from sin, but that we would be freed from an empty life. And then it says that we inherited from our ancestors. So I think that's sort of the perfect jumping off place for Father's Day. I have some sort of monitor ringing really loud for me. But I think it's sort of the perfect place to jump off for Father's Day, because on Father's Day, I understand that we don't all come from the same place. Some of us didn't know our dad. Some of us had an absent dad. Some of us have a terrible father this morning, and which makes it really hard to buy a card. My card this morning, I was pretty excited about, and it was very true. Well, actually, I can't use one of the words in there, or maybe I will. My daughter sent me a card, said, "I love you, Dad, for a man of few words and many farts." And it just touched me right here. That was good. But whatever your Father's Day card said this morning, or whatever, like, the Father's Day card you sent or couldn't send, the good news this morning is that we can build on the traditions. I'm so glad to have a godly dad, and I'll tell you a story about him later that just sort of inspires me, at least. But even if you didn't, see that what Scripture says and what we can learn from Peter, and what I'm so excited about, is it said that because of Jesus, if we're a follower of Jesus this morning, if we're a Christian, we're freed from traditions that make our life empty. We're freed from a family tree that is maybe toxic. We're freed from all those things. So I just want to talk to you about this story, which I'm excited to tell, from Peter, one of the most interesting guys in Scripture. Like, I spent a couple weeks ago just talking about just the things he did. His resume is one of the most interesting things you'll read in the Bible. Last week, Dave talked about just the times he screwed up. Just his failures were just monumental, but yet he didn't turn away from God. He had this tenacity that was great. And this week, I want to tell you a story that I think stands out in all of Scripture, because it actually is told twice back to back, which you don't find very often in the Bible. I can't even think of another instance where the story is told once and then it's told literally in the next chapter. So if you want to go back and read this, and I'm going to be telling the story, we're going to have it up on the screen. But if you want to read this story, if you realize, like, it takes up a lot of real estate in the book of Acts, or the Acts of the Apostles that Luke wrote. And there's a reason why, and we get to find out about it this morning, so let's begin. The story starts out not with Peter, the story starts out with a guy named Cornelius, who is actually a Roman officer, and they say that he's from the Italian regiment. And he's a follower, not of Jesus, but he's a follower of the one God of the Bible. And this is kind of interesting to ourselves, to some of us at least, to think about, because we go, well, what happens when people haven't heard of Jesus? Or what happens when people haven't heard of Christ and it is our job to reach them? But what happens when they haven't heard of Christ, but yet they're praying to God? And that's what we find here. We find an army officer who is a just man. He serves the poor. He's not abusing his position, because many times army officers, Roman officers, they were corrupt, they were stealing, they were using their power to harm people. But it says that he's serving the poor, he's praying to the God of the Bible. And so due to that, God hears his prayers and sends an angel to him and says, hey, you need to talk to a guy named Peter. Now, just that alone, you got to think, like, it's amazing, like, sort of the life that Peter lived. Let's not forget that Peter's father was a commercial fisherman, you know, on a lake, probably never left his neighborhood, you know, get up every, well, actually, they fished all night, so fished all night, slept a little in the morning, mended the nets in the afternoon, went back, caught more fish. That's the life that Peter and Andrew were raised into. So if you think, if he would have just followed sort of the traditions of his father, he'd still be fishing. But instead, he has angels, like, mentioning him by name and sending people to him. Now, we find Peter is doing something, as he's the most interesting man in the world, so why not? He's staying with a tanner, probably a wealthier tanner. Now, tanner made leather goods. I don't know if you know how that smells, but it is awful. And so tanners were actually considered unclean in the Jewish faith. And so probably a wealthy man, which is probably why Peter was invited to stay with him. We know that he had a courtyard. We know that he had servants. So probably a really nice place to stay. Not a respected guy in the community, probably wealthy, but not respected, because he did something that's sort of like making sausage, like, we like it, but we don't want to see it made. And it's sort of like with tanners, like, we want want leather stuff, but you don't want to smell it made. It's a gross thing to do. So we find that Peter is staying there with him, and he goes up on the rooftop to pray, which is probably an interesting thing that he wouldn't have done if he was just, I mean, he's the son of a fisherman. He should have been sleeping or mending nets, and you went to the temple or the tabernacle to pray. You didn't just go pray, but that's what we find Peter doing. And it says he was hungry in verse 10. But while a meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. And he saw the sky open, and something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners. And in the sheet were all sorts of animals and reptiles and birds. And then a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat them." "No, Lord," Peter declared, "I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure and unclean." But the voice spoke again, "Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean." And the same vision was repeated three times. Then the sheet was suddenly pulled up to heaven, and Peter was very perplexed. What could the vision mean? Just then the men sent by Cornelius showed up at the gate. Now, this is not where Peter changed his lunch order and went, "Bacon wrapped shrimp," all right? He didn't. And that is exactly what I would have done, because Peter lived the Jewish code, very restrictive. They couldn't eat shellfish. They couldn't eat pork. A lot of the things that we imagine just, oh, we'll eat those things, off the table for Peter. And so we find this odd occurrence where he's just praying. And I've heard this preached before, and I've read this before, and I always sort of thought of it as just like, for some reason, God went, "Bacon's in, baby." Just like all of a sudden we sort of think of this story as, and then God said, "You don't have to obey that anymore." But I want you to notice that's not what happened at all. What happened is he gets this vision that, hey, you don't have to follow these kosher laws from Judaism, because you are not Jewish by religion. You're now a follower of Christ. But what happens is, at that same time, like, it's not just a standalone story, like, hey, and now I can eat bacon. What we find, even though we're glad of that, says, "Meanwhile, as Peter was puzzling over the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, 'Three men have come looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, and go with them without hesitation.'" So we see that those things are sort of tied together. It's not just you can have bacon wrapped shrimp now, which I'm so happy, but you need to go with these men who have showed up out of the blue, have just showed up and said, "Hey, we want you to go with you." And so we find that he actually does. They spend the night, because it's some distance away. I think it's about 35 miles to the city they're at, which doesn't sound a lot if you're driving, but if you're walking or riding a donkey, it's a long way. And so it says, as Peter entered his home, Peter is entering the home of Cornelius. I want you to notice this. It says, Cornelius fell at his feet, and he worshiped him. But Peter pulled him up and said, "Stand up, I'm a human being just like you." So they talked together, and they went inside where many others were assembled, and Peter told them, "You know it's against our laws for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile home or to associate with you, but God has told me that I should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean. So I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. Now tell me why you sent me." And Cornelius replied, he tells the story of why he sent for Peter. Don't overlook the fact that here's Peter, son of a commercial fisherman from Galilee. Here's Peter, a Jewish man who has seen the Roman army just devastated and just dominate his land. Don't forget that the Roman soldiers are the enemy. Don't forget that he had seen Roman soldiers nail Jesus to the cross. He's not a fan of Roman soldiers. He's seen, you know, the reason why Jesus said, hey, if a Roman soldier asked you to carry his pack, don't just go 1 mile, go a second mile. It was because they would do that. It didn't matter which direction you were going. Literally, they would stop you and go, hey, you've got to carry my stuff for a mile. It was the law. They dominated the land, and they were hated by Jewish people. And then imagine, like, the big turnaround where Peter is so famous, Peter is so well known. We talked about a couple weeks ago that Peter would actually walk through the streets, and they would lay people down in the streets, not so he would notice them and heal them. They wanted him even to step over them, and his shadow would go on the person, and the person would be healed. He's more famous than you can even imagine. And all of a sudden, I love the fact, like, Cornelius bows down to him and he goes, "Whoa, I'm just a person just like you," and he doesn't take that at all. And then I want you to notice this, because this is an awkward conversation. Can you imagine? He's like, hey, by the way, I really shouldn't even be here because you're filthy animals by my old religion. I mean, it's a very uncomfortable thing, but he says, you notice he says, like, I shouldn't even be here, but the reason why I am is that I've come to think that not everything I used to think is unclean. It's unclean. That God, as he said, shows no favoritism. And we find in this next passage that even though Peter's in a place where, as a good Jewish boy, he shouldn't be allowed to go, and even though he's going to eat things that weren't allowed to be eaten by Jewish people, but had a vision about it, and so, okay, I'll do it. We find Peter preaching the same old gospel that he preaches every time. Notice this, and I want to read this because this gospel doesn't change at all. And I want you to notice it's not based on, hey, and here's the teachings of Jesus, and here's the teachings of Paul, or here's my new religion. Instead, this is all based on Jesus was dead, and you killed him, and now he's alive, and we've seen him. I mean, it says, this is the message of good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. And you know what happened. And I like this too. It's not some old story. This is not some myth. This is, you know what happened. After John began preaching the message of baptism, and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And Jesus went around doing good things and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we apostles are witnesses of all he did throughout Judea and in Jerusalem. And notice Peter is taking credit, going, I'm an apostle. I am one of the main witnesses. And they, a little kind here, because usually he says, you killed him. I notice in the presence of Cornelius, he says, they put him to death by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him to life on the third day, and God allowed him to appear, not to the general public, but to us whom God had chosen in advance to be his witnesses. We were those who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And the next thing we find, which is really just amazing, is when Peter preaches the gospel. We find the same thing happening that happened the last big sermon he preached, where at Pentecost, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, it's not just that Peter showed up and preached this first sermon, because that sort of implies that there's such a thing as a sermon. No, there's thousands of people milling around outside. There's like fire sweeping through the building. There's something that no one can see that's sweeping through the building. And Peter just stands up and spontaneously starts yelling out this good news, and thousands of people are converted. It's not a sermon. It's not, hey, I'm scheduled to speak today. It's just standing up in the middle of the mall in a crowded shop. There are no crowded shopping malls. See, everything is changing. I went to the other day. I was like, what happened? I hadn't been in like 10 years. It was strange. But here's the thing. Like, Peter says the same thing, and guess what? The same thing happens. And I know, like, if we want to get a little doctrinal here, people go, well, oh, they receive the Holy Spirit and they begin speaking another language. I believe, not that that is not a true sign of the Spirit, and I do believe that that can happen, but I don't believe it's the only sign of the Spirit. I think this is an example of Peter had to see exactly the same thing happen for him to go, wait a minute, I've seen this before. These people are speaking in languages they don't know, just like the people did at Pentecost, just like the people did on that first day when I stood up. And so this has to be the same thing. So from that, we get salvation for the Gentiles and a side of bacon, and I think that's great. Like, if you're a Gentile this morning, which I'm assuming most of you are, don't just think about the bacon, because that's really cool, and I'm really glad that we don't have to follow Jewish law. But understand that because of this moment, of all the other things Peter did in his life, because of this moment, we're here today. Because no one thought up to then that non-Jewish people could become Christians. And certainly not a Roman. And even worse than a Roman soldier, and even worse than a Roman soldier, a commander. Impossible. And so we find this moment in time where Peter not only is told, hey, you're not going to follow the traditions of your fathers and your forefathers. You're not going to just follow and eat what they ate. He said, hey, guess what? You're going to be brothers in this thing we call Christ, Christianity. tea, which was called later, they called it the way. You're going to be brothers and sisters in the way with some people that look nothing like your family. And now you probably wonder, like, well, okay, that's a long story, Don, and you told it beautifully. Thank you, I did. But you're probably wondering, like, well, why then? That's all chapter 10. Why would they tell it again? Like, it's a pretty long, drawn-out story. Why would there be another chapter? I'll tell you why. It's told twice. I have to read this because this is so, yeah, this is the way it works. It says, so soon the news reached the apostles and the other believers in Judea that the Gentiles had received the word of God. And they were so happy that other people, no, it's not at all. It says the Gentiles had received the word of God. But when Peter arrived back in Jerusalem, the Jewish believers criticized him and said, you entered the home of the Gentiles and even ate with them. And they said that. So the reason why this story is told twice is because instead of like celebrating the fact, oh my goodness, now Gentiles are going to follow Christ. Now Roman soldiers are going to convert and be Christians. That's amazing. Now they're like, hey, Peter, I heard you ate with some Gentiles last week. You know, that's the way it goes. But here's the thing about it. The reason why the story is told twice is we find Peter tell the entire story again. He stands up and says, hey, here's what happened. I was in a house, and then the sheet came down from heaven. And at first I thought, well, I must be seeing things. Or what did I don't know why this is happening. Maybe I'm getting heat stroke. And so it happened three times. And finally I realized, oh, this is not me having heat stroke. This has to be the Spirit of God. And the Spirit kept telling me, kill and eat. And so I was like, oh, I've never eaten those things before, but okay. Fire me up some bacon-wrapped shrimp, that it just happened that these guys came along, and I went, oh, maybe this is not just about eating bacon-wrapped shrimp. Maybe I should go with these guys, like the Spirit says, so that I can spend time with Gentiles. Then I realized, ooh, wait, maybe what I thought used to be unclean really isn't unclean. Maybe that was just tradition, and so God says it's okay, so I'll pray for these guys, and I'll preach the gospel to them, even though they're godless animals, and they probably won't understand it. And then they started speaking in tongues, just like they did at Pentecost. He told it better than that, but that's the way he did it. And then it says, everyone agreed after Peter told the story. And they said, we can see that God has given the Gentiles the privilege of repenting of their sins and receiving eternal life. And that, if you this morning, if you're here and you're a follower of Christ and you're not of Jewish descent, that's the reason we're here. And that's the reason why we can have hope in Christ. And I love one more thing about Peter I should tell you. He told the exact story word for word and only left out one detail that I can find. You know the detail he left out? He left out the detail that Cornelius bowed down and worshiped him. He never even mentions it. See, here's the thing I love about this story. And it's something that I think is missing in our world. Peter showed good judgment. God doesn't come to Peter and said, hey, here's exactly what's going to happen, and here's exactly what you should say to these guys, and hey, I'm letting the Gentiles in. He just says, hey, you can eat these things now. And Peter sort of took 1 + 1 + 1 and made 3 out of it and said, wow, I see that the Spirit is falling on these just like it happened back at Pentecost, so I believe. And he showed good judgment. And another thing he did is he broke comfortable traditions. Here's the one thing I know about guys, you know, like maybe he was excited to, try bacon for the first time, try shrimp for the first time. My guess is maybe not, because I don't know about you, but I always say, you know what, every time I go to a restaurant, I always go, I'm going to get something different this time. And my family says, no, you will not, because I eat the same thing at every time. So I'm not even sure he was excited about this. I think the reason why he was arguing is like, I don't want to try anything new. I think after like 35, you don't try another food. Maybe I'm just weird like that. It's like, I just want to eat what I want to eat every time. But think about it, like, he was comfortable in his tradition. And he changed them, not just for him. I mean, it's great. I'm excited that we have those opportunities. But here's the thing. He broke those traditions knowing he would be criticized, because this was shocking. And why did he do it? Because he wanted to serve Jesus and love people the way Jesus would want him to do. And here's another thing you should notice from this scripture. Peter was famous beyond your imagination. Peter was powerful. Peter had influence. Peter had clout. And you know what he did with it? He leveraged it. The reason why we're here today, the reason why we're accepted, is because when Peter told the story, it says everybody agreed. You couldn't disagree with Peter at that point because he was so convincing and so powerful. And people were laying down their sick people around him so that he would heal them, just so his shadow would pass over. And the same thing, I mean, that's why an army officer would bow down to him, because he had power, he had clout, and notice he never used it for himself. Instead, he completely leveraged it. He's probably the only guy, other than maybe James or John, who could walk into the room and convince everyone. Yeah, Gentiles are in. And let me tell you another little story about Peter, because Peter is Peter later on, being Peter, he turned his back on that and started to go, maybe I was wrong about that. And people started following him again, and Paul and him had a little bit of a dust up. And then Peter went back and go, no, you should be able to eat with Gentiles, because he was Peter and he screwed up again and again. But I love the fact that God used this imperfect man, maybe the most interesting guy you're going to find in Scripture. And here's the thing I want to say to you, dads. Christian fathers, if you're a Christian this morning, if you're not a Christian, I think these things would work as well. But man, we gotta use judgment. It's okay to make judgments. We don't need to be told everything. We need to be able to do a little critical thinking like Peter did. And it's time, and it's important, man. As time changes, we can't just keep all of the traditions. But we also have to know which one to break. You notice that Peter broke certain traditions, said it's okay, I'm gonna use my judgment that this isn't important anymore. But when it came to the gospel, when it came to truth, he's like, no, this is true. I was there. I saw Jesus. I ate with him. I'm not changing that one bit. And later on, when they started going, well, should these new Gentiles be like Jews, or should they be, what will that be like? They once again had a judgment call, and they said, hey, let's make this as simple as possible. Here's another great thing that you and I should be excited about. They said, we didn't have to obey the Jewish laws, and we don't have to get surgery if we're guys and be circumcised like the Jewish people if we weren't. All he said is a few simple rules, you know, avoid sexual immorality, avoid meat offered to idols and blood, and then you're in. And guys, here's another thing I would say. We live in a world that says, man, you shouldn't have authority, you shouldn't have influence, that's privilege. I would say to you, leverage it. Whatever authority, whatever clout, whatever sort of influence you have with your family, I'm so happy for that. But listen up, it's not for you and it's not for me. It's so that we can leverage it to serve our families and provide for our families and love our families, and then you will. Just stand by. You'll get criticized for that. But here's the thing I want to end with. And I want the band to come back up here, because we've still got more to do today. Wherever you're at in this story. Do you know? And that's kind of the way Peter said. He said, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life that you inherited from your ancestors. And you know, it's easy to read that and sort of put church lenses or religious lenses in your glasses and go, oh, that means that I'm going to need to study, or that means I go to church, or that means, you know, we sort of put, oh, that's how we're going to be different. But I just say one word, bacon. We have bacon. God loves you and gave you bacon. It ain't all bad, folks. In fact, we have bacon for you. I'm so excited about this. We've never given away meat, and today we're going to give you men as you leave. And we won't even check to see if you're father, because it would be really weird and we don't even know how to do that. So if you're a guy and you walk past and you stick out your, and it's great, like butcher shop bacon. It's not, and if you happen to be vegan, I'm sorry, we do have vegan bacon, and it has a gift card on it, so you can go get something good that you want. But anyway, so I just want you to take that and remember, like, God's plan was not to make your life boring and old and tired. It was, God paid a ransom, the blood of Jesus, to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. So here's the deal. I don't know what your father was like. I don't know what your family was like. I don't know what kind of baggage you're carrying. I don't know if, like me, I will tell you, my dad, I don't know how many more years I have with him. I called him yesterday and was talking to him and told him, because my dad's old school. My dad would probably tell you jokes that makes him unemployable anywhere in America right now, because he's not politically correct. He's just old. And I never saw that guy cook anything indoors. ever. It was weird. Like, he could cook outdoors, but not indoors. Never saw him load the dishwasher. He didn't even know where the washing machine was unless he was fixing it. Like, all of the things you would go, oh, that's the old school. That's a guy who's not in touch with. Here's the thing. My mom had a stroke 2 years ago. And you know what I've seen him do in his 80s? He's cooked every meal and cleaned the house and done every bit of laundry and bathed and cared for and fed my mom in a way that I'm like, man, nursing staff can't do that, Dad. But see, that's a man. That's a Christian man. That's someone who had a lot of clout. When Dad said it, you better get on board, because it was not going to go well for you if it didn't. But I've seen him sort of leverage and leave some of the traditions. He could go, I don't cook and I don't clean and I don't even know how. But instead, he leveraged like every bit of power to care for my mom. And my goodness, man, have I seen just some impressive things the way he has been a nurse to that woman that he loves. And I don't know if that's your dad. I'm inspired by that. Not that he was perfect. He was not. But maybe, man, you've got baggage to overcome from your dad. But here's the good news. Don't you know that God paid a ransom to save you from that empty life, from those futile acts inherited from your ancestors? Let's pray. Dear God in heaven, so grateful for the ransom you paid for us. And God, thank you that your plan for us was a good plan. And it wasn't bondage or slavery or boredom. It was exciting. It was bacon, God. And God, thank you as a Gentile that I'm even allowed to be part of this thing called Christianity, the way. Thank you for Jesus. And thank you for all these fathers. God, I pray that you would encourage them and guide them. In your name we pray, amen.